We have that inside us. I got to have that. And we'll see something, or we'll, you know, that's why, you know, if you can't sleep at night, they sell stuff all during the night. You know, steak knives that'll cut through, you know, your car and still slice a piece of paper, you know. Now, I got to have me a knife like that. And so that's what people do. They put out commercials late at night when people are counting sheep, you know, and all that kind of stuff and so forth. And they try to, you know, I got to have it. And as seen on TV, they have those type of commercials, and they'll sell those at Walmart in a section, as seen on TV. And, you know, usually you get it home because you have to have it and it doesn't work. Parts are missing and it's not like it was seen on TV. But you know, society knows that we have that meter in us. Salesmen know that we have that meter in us. And they'll come to your house and pour dirt all over your floor and tell you got to have one of these vacuum cleaners. All right, now that I've ruined your carpet, you're going to buy one or I'm not going to clean that up. Anyway, you got to have it. You got to have it. And so society does that, salesmen do that, and we do that to ourselves. We'll see somebody enjoying something, and man, I got to have me one of those. And we'll sell a kidney to be able to, you know, buy that because I have to have one. And so it's in there, but we just need to be in control of it. God put it in there. And I'm not going to try to guilt trip us, you know, into being poor or guilt trip us into being, you know, I'm just living life, making it through. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to show you what the Bible says about contentment. And being satisfied and things like that. But God doesn't want us to be, you know, discouraged. He doesn't want us to be sad. He wants us to be happy because He put it in there. So there's nothing wrong with having things like that. We just got to keep it in check. The world will try to get us to get it out of check. Our flesh will try to get us to get it out of check and things like that. So I'm going to read you several verses, very familiar verses on this thing of contentment. Then we'll be in James in just a minute. But the word contentment basically means to be satisfied and happy. God wants us to be satisfied and happy. He doesn't want you to be sad. He didn't say, okay, now you're a Christian, so you've got to be miserable. All right? That's not what God does. He's not like, you know, you've got to quit this and quit that. You can't have any fun. Why? I'm a Christian. No, that's not what He's saying. He wants us to be satisfied and happy. The verb of the word content means to appease of a desire. To appease of a desire. So there's some things that God put in us to desire. And that's why it's crazy with the things that are going on in our society today. God put the desire in us dudes to like the opposite sex. All right? So He put that desire there. But of course, in that book there, He tells us, keep it in control. No extracurricular activities. You do this and you stay pure. And so that desire is put in there, but for your mate. And so forth. So same thing here. God put that desire to have things and want things and things like that and that want to be satisfied. But He said, hey, look, let's just keep it in check. So let's look at the principle of contentment in the Bible. Of course, very familiar. Philippians 4:11. And it says here, not that I speak of respect of want, for I have learned, and this is Paul obviously telling the church at Philippi, that I've learned this, whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And so He was teaching them, of course, you always make the joke there, not Florida or Georgia or Alabama or Kentucky or Tennessee. If you live in any of those southern states, praise the Lord. I'm just kidding for you northerners. But anyway, you just be content. But no, that just means wherever, in whatever state, in whatever situation, you're supposed to be content. God allowed this. And of course, I think the person that mastered it the best was Job. I mean, he was content. With or without, he was content. Being blessed and being, you know, basically not punished, but, you know, he was losing things. But he learned to be content. And so, again, that's a hard thing to do. It's like, you know, if you're going through trials and, you know, why aren't you mad? Or why aren't you throwing things? Or why aren't you, you know, being disgusted with life? Well, because God's in charge. And He must think I need this. And He, you know, I want to please Him in whatever I do. So even going through this trial or going through this distraction or going through this thing that I'm going through, I want to be content. That's what Paul said. I've learned to whatever state that I am, I'm content. If things are going good, I'm content. Things are going bad, I'm content. I'm just letting God be in charge and letting Him be in control. Then another verse is 1 Timothy 6:6. 1 Timothy 6:6 says this, but godliness, that's the key. We got to be godly. The only way we can be content is if we're being godly. If we're being in the flesh, we're not going to be content. We're going to see that in a little bit. Because our flesh says, I got to have it. I got to have it. I want more. I want more. That's not enough. I got to have it. So if it's not in check, we're not going to be content, especially if we're not being godly. If we're being godly, it says here, but with godliness, with contentment is great gain. So in other words, if we're behaving ourselves like God wants us to behave and we're satisfied with whatever, I'm just letting God be in control and things like that. And I saw this, somebody posted it or texted it or something. It says faith is not about everything turning out okay. So a lot of people say, I got faith in God that everything's going to turn out okay. No, what faith is being okay with no matter what things happen, I'm going to be okay. And that was Job's opinion. He wasn't okay with his children dying and okay with all those things that took place, but he was okay with, God must be doing it for a reason. I'm okay with however it turns out, so I'm going to put my faith in God. So we saw Philippians 4:11, whatever state we were in, be content. 1 Timothy 6:6, with godliness and contentment, now you're getting somewhere. That's great gain. 1 Timothy 6:8, it says this, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And so, of course, in our mindset, this is hard to do, especially the younger you are, or the maturity Christian level, is to be content. I think I've seen people that they finally get there when they get older, and they're like, as long as I got something to eat and I got some clothes to wear, I'm good. And usually it's that same outfit. All right? And, some guys, they can take their overalls off, stand them in the corner. Tomorrow, put them right back on, they're good. All right, that same pair of overalls. As long as I got that, give me some bread to gnaw on, I'm good. But most of the time, as we're growing to that point in life, I've got to have this and I've got to have this or I'm not happy. I'm upset. But it says here, as long as I got food and raiment, I'm supposed to be content. Hebrews 13:5 says this, let your conversation be without covetousness. So when we're talking, we ought not be going, I just got to have, or man, it would be so awesome, and things like that. We've got to be careful. It says here, let their conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So again, food, I'm good. Clothes, I'm good. And as long as God's with me, I'm great. That's our attitude. And now all this other stuff is just a benefit, it's a plus, and so forth. This is the mindset we're supposed to have. So, again, now, a lot of people will take those verses and maybe browbeat us and say, bless God, if you're happy, you're not right with God. No. if God gives you something, more than food and raiment and just Him being there, you've got to be sinning. And no. Why? Because the Bible says the other side. God doesn't mind us having things. In other words, I guess He wants us to have stuff. And I'll show you verses of that. Philippians 4:12 says here, I know both how to abase. So I know. And Paul is telling the church at Philippi here, I've been there where I had nothing. I mean, the only thing I had was food, and that was sparse. And it was that one pair of, that one robe that I had and those one pair of sandals that I had. That was it. But I've learned to be happy with that. But then it says here, I know also how to abound. So, I mean, there was times in Paul's life where he was getting several meals a day. People were helping him. People were giving him money and said, hey, spend this and go do this. And here's this animal and here's this and here's that. And so there's times of our life that we might abound. Man, everything's going great. Look out, I'm just looking for that last shooter drop or, it says here, I've learned to be happy and content in both areas. So I've been happy with, and I've been happy without. Then it goes on to say, where in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and both to suffer need. So God allows us to be hungry, and He allows us to be full. Now sometimes we overemphasize that full part. we're so hungry, I got to have, and you just go in there, and then you're like, oh, I can't believe I ate the whole thing. I should not have eaten that. I'm too full, things like that. So then we have John 10:10. I am come that you might have life. We read this not too long ago, and that you might have it more abundantly. So again, God does not mind us having things. God does not mind us being blessed. God does not mind us being excited and happy about things. But we ought to keep it in perspective and be thankful for it, things like that. Matthew 7:11. We're almost to James. But Matthew 7:11 says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children." And again, there's all of us that are parents. You know, we've done this. We've got an extra job on the side. We sold something that we had. Why? Just so our kids could be happy. They wanted that birthday gift, or they wanted that Christmas gift. And you know, we went to extra effort to make sure they got it. And that's what God's saying here. Now look, I'm not saying don't have good gifts, because us, being sinners, selfish by nature, and so forth, we'll do whatever it takes to give good gifts to our kids. Then it goes on to say, "How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him?" So again, you can go to the extreme of all this. I think you ought to be pretty much a hobo and not have anything. That's the only way you can be right with God. Then we go over here to the extreme and say, prosperity gospel stuff that you see on TV. If you'll buy this, living water that I got in this vial, or if you'll buy this prayer rug, God will pay your house off. God will pay your car off. God will heal you of all diseases and things like that. Y'all know that that's garbage. But anyway, we see here that God knows how to give good gifts. So we saw the be content part. And then now we've seen here life abundantly. I want you to abound. I want you to have good gifts. We just got to keep it in check. So how to be in control of our I've got to have meter. And it's found there in James 4, 13 through 17. So again, we saw the principles. God's like, I want you to be happy even if you don't have. I want you to be happy even if you do have. I want you to be happy. I want you to be right with God and so forth. And here's our mindset. Take those Bible principles that we just read and apply it right here. And it's found in James 4, 13 through 17. So this should be our mindset, looking at contentment verses and blessed life verses. Verse 13, it says here, "Go to now that they say," all right, so this is what we ought to say. "Not, I got to have it. I'm going to die if I don't have it. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get it." God says, don't say that. Don't let that be your mindset. Don't get all caught up with that. But to say this, "Today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and we'll buy and sell and get gain." So we're going to live life. We're going to go to work. We're going to get a paycheck. All that kind of stuff. Then verse 14, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor, and it appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away." So God's like, look, don't get all caught up in your life that I got to have this specific thing or life's useless. No, say, look, God put me down here. And those of us that are older, that verse right there, "Your life is even a vapor." It's like, yesterday I was 5. Yesterday I was in school. Yesterday I had kids at my house. Yesterday, just boom, it goes fast. So don't get caught up in your life that I got to have. But say, tomorrow we're going to do this, tomorrow we're going to do that. Then in verse 15 it says here, "For that ye ought to say." So here's our mindset, or this is what we ought to say. Not, "I got to have," and "I'm going to," and you just mark it down. Don't say that stuff. Say this, "If the Lord will," and that's the key, "we shall live and do this or that." If the Lord will. And of course, I think I've told you this before, but I had a grandmother it was "Lord willing and the creek don't rise." Again, I don't see that part of that verse in there, but "Lord willing." I'm going to come tomorrow, Lord willing. I'm going to do this, Lord willing. I'm going to buy that, Lord willing. We ought to put it in perspective. Not, "I got to have it." No, I would like to have that, and Lord willing, I might get it one day. And so we have to have that kind of perspective. Then it goes on to say that when we live, we ought to say, "The Lord will, and we'll do this or that." Verse 16, "But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil." So if we don't add "Lord willing" on there, we're boasting. And I'm going to do this, and I'm going to achieve. And we don't put God in there. Lord willing. And again, that's why we ought to be, set goals, be determined. I'm going to graduate, or I'm going to finish this, or I'm going to do that. Lord willing. Let God help us. Why? Because we're not supposed to boast about tomorrow. But verse 16, "But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is sin." So, when we're not in control of our "I gotta have" meter, we're sinning. Because we know. And if you didn't, you do now. Because we read those verses. be content. God wants to bless you. He came to give you life and give it more abundant. And there's nothing wrong with having things. But let's be in control of I got to have meter and say, I'd like to have that, Lord willing. And He's done it. He's done it for me, and I'm sure He's done it for you. There's been times that I don't know that I even verbalized the prayer. I just maybe thought, that would be neat. I'd like it. And all of a sudden, I got it. God blessed me with it. And so He doesn't mind you having things. He doesn't mind blessing you with even things that definitely we don't deserve, or I know I don't. But God does like it. So we're going to look at the outline real quickly here. Number one, God gave us that I've got to have meter. He's the one that put it in there. But if we're not in control of it, we're going to see there's some verses in the Bible that show people that are out of control. In other words, there's several places in the Bible it says the word, it's never enough. Never enough. In other words, those people, they weren't in control of that I got to have meter. Because they said, I got to have this. And what happened? They got it. And they weren't satisfied. Now I got to have that. And now I got to have that. It's never enough. And so if we're not in control of it, we see by biblically principles here that it can get out of control. There's verses in the Bible that says it's never enough. It's never enough. Let's look at them. Proverbs 30, verses 15 and 16. Proverbs 30, verse 15 and 16 shows us the person that doesn't have the I got to have control meter in check. This is what happens. It says here, the horse leech. All right? And I'm assuming a horse leech is probably bigger than just a regular leech. And we all know what leeches are. Leeches get on you. Anybody ever had one? Uh-huh. Military guys probably, hunters probably. They're just sucking the blood out of you. And they'll get full, but you know what they keep doing? They keep sucking the blood. It's never enough. That horse leech is going to keep sucking and keep sucking the life right out of you. Why? Because it's never enough. And so a person that doesn't put in check their I've got to have meter, it's like this horse leech. That's just sucking the life. They're bloodthirsty. Their appetite is never satisfied. They just got to have it, got to have it. And so it says here, the horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. They are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, things that are not, or say it is not enough. And then it gives a list of them here. So there's some things in the Bible that they say, I got to have this. They get it. They're not satisfied. They got to have more. And we'll see in just a minute when I give you some examples of that. But in this verse right here, it says things that say it's never enough. The first one mentioned in this chapter is the grave. Is the grave. The grave is not going to say, okay, I'm through. Enough people's dying. No, the grave is going to just say, you got to keep coming. It's never enough. It's never satisfied. We're all going to die. And after this, the judgment, unless the rapture takes place. So there's millions of people that have died in our world today. Millions and millions. But the grave is still saying, I want more. I want more. I've got to have it. So what God's saying here is, if you don't keep your I got to have meter in, you're going to be like that grave. I got somebody dead. Boy, I got to have somebody else. And I got to have somebody else. And I got to have somebody else. It's never enough. Here's the second one in that chapter, talking about the barren womb. The barren woman. Of course, there's examples of it in the Bible. Ladies that could not have babies. And I mean, they were praying. Even up until their old age. And God finally answered it. Because that's the way God, just like God made us with a I gotta have meter. He made a lady to want to have babies. And so forth. And so that barren womb, especially the ones that can't. They would like to. And so, again, praise the Lord for adoption and things like that where you can. But anyway, that's the way God created. And here's another one. It says, the earth that is filled with water. The earth that is filled with water. Of course, when God created it, He created all that water. Water was everywhere. And then He created landmass and separated the waters. But what does the waters want to do? They want to get back together. The Atlantic wants the Pacific. They want to just do away with everything else in the middle. That's just the way it's designed. And that water wants to get there. And then here's another one. In that chapter it says, fire says it's never enough. Okay, you've seen a fire, and maybe you haven't seen one that's gotten out of control. That's why Smokey the Bear teaches you to get rocks and clean all the leaves around and have a clean spot. Put it out before you leave. Why? Because they know if that fire gets started, it's not going to be satisfied. Oh, I'm tired of burning. I think I'll just go out. I'm done. No, it's going to go and go and go. And we've seen it on the news. I mean, rampant wildfires. And so that's why they have to put fire breaks in there. Why? To try to check it off. I remember at my house one time, my dad and I were cleaning some trees. We'd cut down and pushed over with the bulldozer about 90 trees. And we were trying to get rid of the stumps and the debris. So he dug a big old hole. We pushed it all in there. We set it afire. And we were just going to burn that all up and then fill it in. We were going to be good. And so this guy comes pulling up, and he's doing this at us. And, you know, I was inside getting something to drink while my dad was still working. Amen. That sounds like a good plan. But anyway, he was working on his bobcat. And this guy comes up to him like this. You know, hey. And you got to put that fire out. And if you know my dad, he doesn't take to that kindly. You know, he's still that old school Southern dude. You don't tell him what to do. All right. Now, you might explain why you need to, but you don't just say, hey, put that fire out here. I'm the head of the neighborhood watch, and you're going to put that fire out. I was like, oh, my soul. All right, he doesn't know that dude on that bobcat's fixing to come off. but anyway, I'm going out there, whoa, what's going on? I'm the homeowner. All right, what do we need to do here? He said, you need to put that fire out. And we didn't know it, but there was a forest fire coming towards us. And they said, there's, you know, because I saw the helicopters. And he said, they're flying around and they're trying to radio that if the fire has jumped and started over here. And you're going to get tons of water dumped on you if you don't put that fire out. So my dad was like, oh, okay, that's good. And he covered it up, all right? Thing was, it burned all night long underground. Came out there the next morning, poof, the hole was in. I was like, hey, we got to do what we were supposed to do anyway. But fire, when it's burning, it wants some more. And if it burns that little bit, it wants some more. And that's what the Bible says. If we're not in control of that I've got to have meter, it's going to be never satisfied. The grave, the barren womb, the earth and the water and fire. They will never say, okay, I'm through. It's never enough. So give. It's never satisfied. The other place it's found is in Hebrews 11:25. And it says here, enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And so even that verse there, you know, the devil will tell you, yeah, that's what the Bible says. And what did he do with Eve? Yeah, I know the Bible says, but if you eat that fruit, you'll be like God. Wouldn't that make God happy? You being like Him? So He'll take and twist it. So even this verse, even there's pleasure in sin for a season. But when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. So that's what the devil will do. He'll try to throw out a little bit of sin and say, you know, just enjoy yourself for just a season. Just for a little while. Then you can get right and then you can put it away. But what he's doing, he's creating that desire in you for that pleasure. And it's not going to be. Usually there's punishment. And that's what stops the season. But not that, you know, okay, I've had enough. So it's not going to happen that way. A lot of people, we'll give you just a list of these things. Nothing wrong with some of these. Some of these are dead wrong. But some of these are not wrong. But the love of it is. And the first one is money. Money. The Bible says the love of it is the root of all evil. And again, that's what if I could just make that first $100. I remember as a kid, counting that piggy bank. I'd dump it out on the bed and I'd count all the change and I'd put all the bills over here. Oh man, if I could just get $100. Porky would be heavy. All right. Oh man, if I could just get $100. And I finally did it. And then my mom and dad wanted to put it in the bank. It was in a bank. Porky, the pig. I want that money now. No, you got to put it in the bank. It'll grow. And that's what people will do. If I just get this CD, and if I could just get this investment, if I could get this. Again, nothing wrong with all those things, but you got to keep it in check. Because if you love it, and of course, we've mentioned this before, millionaires that we've heard of, movie stars that we've heard of, athletes that we've heard of, they got to have it, and then they commit suicide. Because money is not the answer. We got to keep it in check. So, I've seen people turn their back on God for money. I've seen people turn their back on their family for money. I've seen people turn their back on their own self. Sell themselves. Whatever. For money. So we see that money can be a thing that we need to be content with. There was a story down in Jacksonville of a congresswoman. And she was, you know, I guess trying to raise money for underprivileged students. And so it said on the news she was doing this. And I mean, people started giving. And it showed that she raised like $800,000 for these, I guess, underprivileged students that needed to go to college. But come to find out, only 1,200 out of the 800,000 actually went to a student. The rest of it went to her bank account. Lo and behold, she wasn't a congresswoman very much longer. Why? You got to have it. I mean, can you imagine coming up with that story? Here's some underprivileged kids, and there was a commercial about it. And if we could just raise some money, we could help them go to college. And they deserve it, and this, that, and another. Woof! Money come flying in. Man, that's a lot of money. And her bank account went up $800,000, and her little checkbook only wrote $1,200. Why? Love of money. It's the root of all evil. Theft. I got to have it. Donations and so forth. So we see if we don't keep that in check. Of course, I don't believe there's any problem with this in here, but drugs is the same way. I mean, how many stories have you heard? People getting shot for so they could get money for drugs. And whatever they had to do, they steal. And to steal from their family, steal from their parents, steal from whoever to get money. I got to have that drug. Why? It's never satisfied. Alcohol is the same way. I've seen people that way with pornography. I've seen people that way with other sexual sins. They just got to have it, got to have it. They've created that. We've got to keep our got to have meter in check. Social media. I've heard this. Again, I don't have a lot of that stuff, but I've heard wormhole, and I've been sitting here for 4 hours. Right? It's just something about it. You got to keep that in check. Well, I got to look, I got to watch, I got to find out. And so give, never satisfied. We see here. And now I'm going to start stepping on my own feet. All right, because money, I got to have it, but I don't have to have it. All right, praise God, not a drug problem, not any of those other things, social media, I don't have it, so forth. Sports. I've told you before, anything that had a ball growing up, I played it. I mean, I was a fanatic. Even golf. When I was a teenager, I thought that was for old people. All right, but then I tried it. I was like, I could shoot that better. I could throw it up and hit it with my baseball bat better. I could kick it like a soccer ball. Hit it with this stick? No way. All right, but what happened? I got determined. I have to hit it straight. I got to do this. Sports. But I got to keep it in check because, you know, I saw myself knowing more about athletes than I did Bible characters. I knew more about their stats than I did how to quote verses. I got to keep this thing in check and so forth. So, you know, I found out that I talk more about sports than I did God, church stuff. Got to keep it balanced. Keep it in check. I've seen guys like this, you know, and again, some of this you may not get it, but in our day and time, these sports fanatics now, they have some type of celebration in their home runs, all right? You see Acuna, he can't play right now, he's hurt, but you see him, he'll hit a home run, and he'll do this, cold as ice. All right, he'll do that, and he'll run down there. And then when he comes around second, he'll do this little side step, and then take a couple on third, and he'll give that guy home. The whole thing is theatrics. Their home run trot, theatrics. Steph Curry, best three-point shooter there is. What does he do? Every time. So you go to all these fields and you see the kids out there. What in the world? And you see them on the basketball court. Or they've had the three-point thing. Resetting that shotgun. You know, I shot that, so. All right, threes. All this stuff. It's all, and the kids are like, I mean, they know they're all their theatrics. And they do it. So, again, nothing wrong with that, but let's keep that meter in check. Let's know more about God than we do sports. And again, I can add hunting and fishing in there. I got pictures. I got stories. We can go all night long, fishing and hunting. Okay, I got to keep it in check. You know, again, I love it. I like it. And things like, but if God helps me kill a big buck, I'm okay. If He helps me kill a doe, I'll eat it. All right, that's just the way I got to look at it. I got to be content. So keep that contentment in there. So fashion, I got to have this. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I mean, people would get beat up for wearing certain type of clothes. And they were not included in the cool crowd unless they had a certain type of clothes. I mean, that's just the way it was. I mean, I saw guys bring guns to school and steal shoes. Hold people at gunpoint, give me those shoes. Why? Because they were a certain type of shoe. I mean, come on. Okay, now I get it. You know, I was, you know, for years I was the uncool kid. All right, my mom and my grandmother, they would take me to Sears and Roebuck back in the day, get me some tough skins. I mean, I had blue jeans, brown jeans, green jeans, red jeans, gold jeans. All right, I mean, every color jean. And I had the Geronimo shirt to match. All right, you just look at the animal and, okay, this will glow. Ah, oh, I got beat up. You Geronimo, tough skin. No, it was supposed to be Levi's and Izod and Nike's, not tracks from Kmart. Don't you know? And I mean, I got to have it, Mom. I mean, I'm getting killed at school. You got to give me a pair of Nikes. I get it. And that just goes on. I don't know what it is today. I mean, goodness gracious. I got to be more weird than anybody else, seems like what the thing is today. I got to be more weird. I got it. I got to have it. So anyway, so we see this. And then here's another one, change. You know, everybody today is looking for a change. I think the Bible says, meddle not with those that are given to change. But it's creeped over into religion. I just need to change it up. I got to have a different philosophy. And it goes into churches. Well, we got to be different. We got to be cutting edge. What in the world? Okay. We got to be this and we got to be that. And they're trying to, I got to have it. We got to be the coolest. And the one with the most logos. And we got to have the most differences. And we got to have this. And they're all caught up in that stuff. And I got to have, we got to change. And we heard this morning what's going to change you. Jesus will change your life. Not upgrades, not changes, not differences, you know, things like that. But people are caught up in logos, and we got to change our logo. We got to change our standards. We got to change our doctrine. We got to change our music. We got to change our method. It's all about change. Well, our church is cutting edge. We're different. And boy, we're rolling them in. And a lot of times they do. But anyway, Deuteronomy 11:16 says this, take heed of yourself that your heart be not deceived. That gotta have meter that is not in check, it'll deceive your heart. And ye'll turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. So until we end up in the hog pen, like we talked about this morning, and come to ourself, all right, and realize that we do need a change, that's the only thing that's going to change us. Let Jesus change, not those things. Number one was we've got to be in control of our I got to have meter. Number two, how to control your got to have meter. So we saw contentment. We saw God can bless and abound. And then we saw that we have it inside of us. We got to keep it in check. How to do that? A couple things. Number one, delight thyself in the Lord. Psalm 37:4. The way to keep your I've got to have meter is delight yourself in the Lord. Have that philosophy. The Lord willing, I'll do this or that. And I'm going to delight myself in the Lord. It says here, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Again, a lot of people try to do that, and they try to twist it. The desire of my heart is to be a millionaire. So I'm going to make God happy, and He'll make me a millionaire. Not thinking. What that's basically meaning is if we delight ourselves in the Lord and say, God, whatever You want, and I'm going to want the same thing, then I'll get the desires of my heart. Why? Because they're on the same page with God. That's what that's talking about. If we delight ourselves in the Lord and say, Lord, I want You to be in charge. I want You to control my thoughts and my life. And then it happens. We're on the same page. God's given us the desires of our heart. 2 Chronicles 15:15. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath that they had sworn with all their heart. Okay, I'm telling you how to keep your I got to have meter in check. First of all, delight yourself in the Lord. Number two, tell God. God, I'm with Your help, I'm going to keep my I've got to have meter in check. They had sworn unto God with all their heart. Then the rest of that verse says, seek the Lord. They sought Him with their whole heart. So they promised God with their whole heart. Then they sought God with their whole heart. And it says here, and was found in them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. So in other words, they promised God, and they sought it, and God gave it to them. Psalm 21:2. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips. So how to keep our, I've got to have meter in check, delight in the Lord, promise Him and seek Him. And then it says here, request, ask Him. Say, God, I want You to give me what I want or what I need. Lord, help me not to want something that I don't need. Obviously, Samson, if he'd had that philosophy, he wouldn't have gotten in trouble with the ladies. But what he was doing, I got to have her. I want her. Not, Lord willing, He'll give me the right one. And we could go through the whole Bible, talking about money and talking about power and things like that. I got to have it. No, Lord, what do You want? And of course, if you'll seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. He'll do it. So create in me an appetite. We see here that in the verse, give, never satisfied. So it's in us. So instead of money and drugs and things and all that kind of stuff, let's put it on this. How about this? Give, I'm never satisfied with this. Give me some more knowledge. Give me some more principles. Give me some more. Let me read. Take that appetite and that never satisfied appetite and put it in there and say, I want to know more. Paul said, I'm glad that I was afflicted so I could know God more. So use that. Prayer. I'm going to pray more. Soul winning more. Serving others. Serve others more. Giving money, time, and self. Just take that I've got to have meter and direct it into the right areas, and God will help you be content. Whatever God wants, that's what I want. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll have a short invitation, and then we'll get into our business meeting. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for the Word of God. And Lord, thank You for these principles where it tells us to be content. But Lord, also thank You for loving us. And just like we love our kids and we want them to be happy, we know that's the way You want us. You don't want us to be miserable. You don't want us not to have things. You want us to be blessed, and Lord, but we saw how we need to keep that in perspective. And Lord, I just ask You to continue to bless each individual in their Christian life. Bless us collectively as a church. And Lord, I just ask You to help us, Lord, to take that give, got to have, never satisfied, and put it in serving You. Let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to lead us an invitation.